Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osher, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday in, is this Nashville? It feels almost as cold as it did on Sunday in Nashville. No, folks, Jacksonville, side of a wild card playoff game. Playoff game for the first time since January of 2000, 18 years ago this month. Good morning and welcome into the warm studios inside Everbank Field. Brian Sexton with you for Jags Drive Time. Thanks for joining us here on TuneIn Radio and, of course, on Twitter and across social media. Joined, as always, by the senior writer at Jaguars.com, John Osher. How are you, John?
It's cold outside.
Yeah, your cheeks are a little red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing socks.
Wait, stop.
I am wearing pants, but I'm not wearing socks.
So when have you ever worn socks?
I never wear socks.
With tennis shoes, though.
Yes, I have to. Well, yeah, I usually wear tennis shoes. But enough about
you're
me.
You're a Floridian.
All right.
You're a Floridian. You roll with this
thing. That's right. That's right.
By the way, if you haven't seen the weather forecast, it's supposed to be much warmer on Sunday. So much warmer, seeming like 60 degrees, I think, is exactly what the forecast is.
Which will be great.
How that goes.
It'll be perfect. Fantastic.
For a playoff game? Yep. Fantastic. It'll feel like 70 degrees warmer than it was on Sunday in Nashville. I don't imagine we're going to spend much time on this show talking about Sunday's game in Nashville. The players weren't spending a lot of time talking about it. At least most of them weren't in the locker room yesterday.
Well, and the reality of it is, as much as there was buildup and as much as there was motivation for the Jaguars, really the last game and a half, if you will, if you look at the grand scheme of things and take away the need to get angry and to get furious over what you saw on TV and the feeling, they didn't matter. For the seeding of this team,
right,
and for the playoffs and for everything that you fight for and everything that matters in the NFL, you are playing for a division title in this league and you are playing for your playoff seeding. Once that happens, the regular season is over. And there is a reality to that that I believe overplays the mood and the feeling you get from watching the team. I've gotten a lot of emails this week, people jumping off the bridge over this team.
Well,
it's way premature. This team is fine going to the playoffs.
You said it last week, and I had never heard it said quite like you did.
Well, thank you. Oh, you didn't say I said it well. You just said I said it different.
Well, you said it well.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate it. And that was teams that have to generally play differently than teams that want to.
If you just, I mean,
and that was never more evident. I saw it all game on Sunday. Not to take away from the Jaguars' effort, I'm not, but there was a different hunger.
And if it's that much,
it was just a little bit.
If it's that much, it usually overrides. I mean,
and if it's that much on a day where it feels like minus seven,
right,
yeah, it might be that much, you know.
Right. And I can't believe, you know, I'm sure we'll get to it, but the weather in that game, I was fine, Brian. By the way, good press box situation for me. But I can't believe that the weather didn't play into a lot of the offensive. A lot of the offensive struggles. Was it chilly down? I mean,
would you like an observation?
Cold.
By the way, am an amateur weatherman. I love weather. I will tell you, it was so cold that in Cleveland, it was cold and it was a little wet, but it wasn't like this. In Cleveland, I could get in front of a heater, you know, 20 seconds at a time. On Sunday in Nashville, there was no way I would get anywhere near it. I couldn't move. If I stuck a hand to warm up my hands in front of the heater, somebody turned and went, hey, who cut off the flow of warm air, right?
Right.
I mean, there were always players around it. That wasn't the case in Cleveland.
Right.
That to me says have to versus want to.
Right.
More than anything else. Now, was it cold? Yes. I had two pairs of gloves and hand warmers on, right? They weren't bad. My feet, I had three pairs of socks and thin-soled boots on, and I lost feeling in my feet. It was so cold, it didn't matter what you wore. What mattered was that you couldn't get warm.
Right.
So, I know, you've never experienced a day like that.
That sounds bad.
It was bad.
All right.
Maybe you'll have the opportunity someday to experience it. I can tell you someone that wants nothing to do with it, and that's Ashlyn Sullivan.
Nothing.
Florida girl through and through.
Yes. This is cold enough. I don't nothing more than this.
Did our stories of cold frighten you?
Yes.
Regale you?
John, I'm glad that you never want that experience. I don't think you should go through it.
Neither one of you guys could handle it. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm very good. What you got for us? Big thing.
Big thing number one, home for the playoffs. Partying like it's 1999. Now, to put things in perspective, I went and Googled some things that happened in 1999. Believe by Cher, number one song. Star Wars Episode One was number one movie, and I was 4 years old in 1999. So, long time coming, guys.
Do you know, speaking of cold weather, the sweater that I'm wearing today is older than Ashlyn.
I believe
all-time classic.
I just want to point that out. No, it's classic.
You can't tell.
Yeah, you can't tell. It's a classic sweater.
Oh, it is.
I just want to point that out. Yeah. I don't get to wear it very often.
If you do, say so yourself.
Yeah, I do. And I do.
Right.
I absolutely do. You want to comment on this?
Yeah. It's been too long. The Bills have not been in it since 2 weeks before the Jaguars' last playoff game. The
music when Doug Flutie was their quarterback.
Right. So, it's been a long time for both franchises. It feels like a throwback in that sense. And their two franchises, you know, even the Jaguars, 10 years since their last playoff appearance, has sort of been lost in the wilderness. We're following them very closely. It will be interesting. You had that feeling in 96. I remember sitting in the old Buffalo press box, which is a bad press box.
Back then, I sat in the press box, too. It was warm.
Right, yeah. So, and you had this feeling in 96 when they were playing that playoff game of them taking their first steps onto that national stage. And, wow, it was cool hearing Joe Theismann had been in a couple of weeks ago. And it was, and you knew that what Boselli was doing against Bruce Smith was going out on the national stage. And then after the game, you had reporters who were coming over to me and Pete Prisco trying to figure out who these guys were and trying to get the backstory. And it was when you first realized that they were stepping up. And that's what the playoffs do, and that's what they have a chance to do on Sunday.
So I can't help but think that Jacksonville fans will savor this playoff game more than perhaps they did back then. Back then, you had two dominant football programs in Florida and Florida State, and Georgia too, and people here were used to winning. Making the playoffs in 96 and 97 and 98 and 99, hey, that's what we do.
Well, you also,
you don't realize that.
You didn't know what you didn't know at that point.
True.
You didn't know how hard it was to get there.
That's the point.
Fans who've been covering, I mean, fans who've been following this down know it's hard.
That's the point, is that I can remember after the 96 season and the 99 season thinking, all right, they'll be back. Well, from 96 to 99, obviously they did get back a couple years later, but they haven't been back. So you have to enjoy this time and savor it, because while it appears the Jaguars have a defense and a team building to be a consistent playoff contender year in and year out, you never know.
I think fans are, Brian. I mean, I've discussed this a couple times in the last couple of days. Fans, because you lost twice in the last couple of weeks, they're mad and they're angry. I'm getting people, why can't fans just enjoy this? Well, complaining and being angry and being passionate and being up and down like this, that's how you enjoy it. Being into it, being emotional over it, that's how you experience. I think fans deep down, in when it gets to March, or even 8 days after the season, whenever it ends, if it does end, they're going to look back and say, wow, what a great, great season. But you don't expect people to be ecstatic over losses during the season. So I think people are savoring it, and there's going to be 69,000 people saving it in their own way on Sunday.
Well, and I think that it will build through the course of the week. You know, there are people out and about this morning. The Jags have a contingent out at a Dunkin' Donuts somewhere, and they're going to be out at restaurants and bars as the week goes on. I mean, the festivities, the aura of the playoffs that a lot of people have never felt, it will build. By Friday, it will hit a feverish peak outside of this building.
Right.
Now, hopefully, Sunday night it goes to a completely different level after the Jaguars have a playoff win under their belts. But if you don't feel it yet, if it's just internal, right, and you're...
I feel it.
I know you do.
All right.
If there was anybody that feels it...
Oh, I feel it.
Yeah, exactly. I think on that, we should take a break. 60 seconds from now, we're back with Ashlyn Sullivan and more big things here on Jags Drive Time. Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
Hey, you can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on Fox 30 and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars apps. Jags Wired. Don't miss it.
Jags fans, experience EverBank Field in an entirely new way. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named EverBank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank. Welcome back to Jags Drive Time on this Tuesday morning. Here with you with big thing number two and the surprise that the Buffalo Bills are a playoff team right now. After that up and down season they had in the middle of the season, losing three games straight, giving up 135 points combined those three games, you can tell that everyone is kind of shocked that they're here. And watching those videos that are going viral on Twitter of the Buffalo Bills fans celebrating, you can kind of tell they weren't expecting this either, guys.
No, and John, I did some work yesterday on the Bills season as a whole, one of the few seasons in recent years we haven't seen them. You realize they have Brandon Bean and what's the coach's name?
Bad other guy.
McDermott, Sean McDermott.
Right.
And they come in, and they start reworking the roster, mm-hmm. right? They bring in some free agents. They let some guys go. Through the course of the season, they start trading guys away. You know, Sammy Watkins to L.A. Marcel Darius here. The whole time, it felt like they were putting the pieces in place. But, this, you know, even at 5-2, right, you wondered, well, how good are the Bills?
Right.
Okay, then they lose those three in a row and 101 points in back-to-back games.
Well, it's 54-24 to the Chargers.
Oh, I mean, that was... and that was really the moment where – at that point, they're 5-4 before they go to L.A., mm-hmm. and you wonder, now, you could still get in this thing. Why are you throwing Nathan Peterman in there
right.
and taking Tyrod? I got that he only completed 9 passes for 56 yards against the Saints, but for a team that was 5-4 and in it, that hadn't been in it in right. 17 years, that move to me was the perplexing one, and for a lot of people, where you thought, okay, well, this is not going to be a playoff team.
Well, I talked to their writer, Chris Brown, on Monday and said, you know, the perception of this team, and a lot of national people thought this on multiple occasions, the Watkins trade, the Darby trade, the Darius trade, it was said these guys are tanking and they're trying to go play for a quarterback and they're trying to build for the future. And yes, that was the perception, but he said McDermott was very much trying to get his culture in. He wanted people doing things a certain way every day. And if he didn't fit that, it was the old thing. And they did it on the fly. Credit to them for getting here. Their last three games, they beat the Colts. They beat the Dolphins twice. Three teams that were out of the playoffs. They also lost to New England. So they're not exactly peaking as much as you would think coming in. And as Chris said yesterday to me, they have flaws. They've done some things better more than they've done some bad things, which is why they're a couple of games over 500. They're not a 2-seed. They're a 6-seed. This is a game the Jaguars ought to win. But as Doug Marrone said yesterday, and this was very insightful, I thought, every playoff team is here for a reason. They've overcome something to get here. So every playoff team has some formula that they can get you. I just don't think the Bills have as many formulas they can get the Jaguars as they need to have to get it done on Sunday.
Well, and the formula the Bills used, go back to the snow game, right? I mean, everyone saw that. It was one of the more bizarre scenes that we've seen in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And gosh, my 25 years in this league, I don't know that I had seen anything like that.
Not quite right.
And LeSean McCoy scored the game-winning touchdown in overtime. To me, that was one of those hinge moments. You go back and because they could have very easily lost it. When Jack Doyle scored, you thought, oh, this game's over, right?
Right.
And instead, they found a way in overtime to get that win. Well, LeSean McCoy was their way of winning this year. Mm-hmm. And now he's down with an ankle injury. And I get the whole May play. Of course, we heard the same thing about DeMarco Murray last week.
Right.
You know, that's coaches trying to keep their team spirits up. Help is not on the way. I mean,
right, which can also be dangerous because then if the guy doesn't play, then there's a big letdown when he does. So the one X factor for the Bills, they're not a great defense, but they are very good at taking the ball away.
Yes.
In the playoffs, that can be very dangerous because if it happens early, all of a sudden the air goes out of your balloon. I think if the Jaguars protect the ball this week, I think if they don't give away things, their talent level, they're the better team. So if you don't give it away, but the Bills are very good at taking it away, so that's the X factor to me.
All right, Ashlyn, more big things, at least one more big thing
from you. One more, yes. The running game, the key to everything, the key to success. Last week against the Titans, the Jags only rushed for 83 yards, Fournette being 69 of those yards. This team was most successful when that running game was dominant, and we haven't seen that in the past few weeks, and you got to get back to that, and got to get back to it on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think it's a surprise that the Jaguars have turned the ball over, five times in the last seven turnovers.
Right.
In the last two games, they have not been able to run the ball, and the rookie receivers have not played as well as they did during the three-game winning streak at home.
Well, and that's the dangerous combination. I've said all year, this running game is not as dominant or consistent as its ranking indicates. It hasn't been all season. It wasn't early in the season. They've had some games where they have flashed and looked fantastic. Seattle, Pittsburgh, the Colts a couple of times. The way they've countered that, there have been times where they've made huge plays in the passing game, especially early this month when Blake was on fire, the rookie receivers were playing well, Marquise Lee was in. They've been able to counter that at times with big plays and sometimes consistency in the passing game. This may be a week, because the Buffalo defense is not great against the run. It's been better late, but not great, that you can get that run game going. But I'm skeptical, because I have not seen it be the consistent running game that the number one ranking would indicate.
This would seem to be the week where you would have Chris Ivory, who has not touched the ball the last 2 weeks.
Or play last week.
Right. He wasn't even active. On the field, and T.J. Yeldon and Leonard Fournette, and just hit them, you know, with different running styles and different plays, different ways to run the football.
If you can avoid turnovers early, if you can get it, it's the old formula. We all know the Jaguars have been as good as any team in the NFL once they get a lead at making it snowball and making it a one-sided game. If they can do that, then I think they can do what you're talking about, which is run. What I don't know right now is if they can come out and just run the ball down a team's throat and get the lead that way. It feels like they have to have something to go right to get to the running game.
You know, without the running game in Nashville, other than two plays, I thought the defense looked playoff ready. They were tuned up and ready to go. How many short fields did they defend, only allowing a field goal?
Right.
They let up. Derrick Henry got free on the screen, 66-yard touchdown.
I thought it was really one play. That was the only play that really bothered me out of the whole
ball. Well, the one that got me was Marcus Mariota at the end of the ball game. You know, there were three defenders in the area, and they couldn't get him to the ground and let him get that key first down.
And I thought sometimes a mobile quarterback can make that happen. It's hard to put that, oh, boy, he does that.
I don't think I'm nitpicking. I just think that one play, it's like if you get him down,
sure. You
give your offense the opportunity to get the ball back. No times out left, still giving them that. Mm-hmm. Those were the only two plays. Other than that, they scored. They sacked the quarterback. They stopped Derrick Henry, 1.8 yards per rush.
They
did everything they needed to do. They just didn't get any support from the offense, and in particular, the running game is what crippled them.
I thought it was a mammoth effort against Henry, considering that when you walked out of the Week 2 game, which the Titans won, you wondered, okay, this is a good defense. We saw a great effort in Houston the previous week, but to me, that was the game that sort of set the tone for the early season of this defense is good, but can it stop the run? Well, you stopped the run the other day against the same team. Now, I think you also knew they were going to run, so you could gear up against it because of the weather. But this is a better run defense, and I think it'll play well. It bodes well for the matchup on Sunday that they're playing well against the run right now.
One more thing on the defense, and you talked about this extensively last week. This is an adrenaline laced defense, based defense. When they've got it, boy, are they good. And Sunday here with the crowd at a fever pitch, we might see another level from this defense.
Yeah, and I think it was clearly a thing last week among the coaching staff. Doug even mentioned it on Monday when he talked. He made a point of mentioning they were very glad that they were able to play with high intensity on Sunday and yet not have the penalties. And he said there were some situations where they got hit a little bit where it could have turned into that San Francisco thing where you're seeing stuff after the whistle. They didn't do that. I think that's the key Sunday. There's no question in my mind they're going to play with adrenaline and they're going to, you know, their hair is going to be on fire like it hasn't been all year. Can they play with control and not give away 60 yards on four penalties? I think they can because they showed they could do it last week.
60 seconds from now, we'll have Ozone Snapshot here on Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio.
Jags fans, experience Everbank Field in an entirely new way. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit Jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank.
Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this pep up.
And on the field.
You can't grab me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on Fox 30 and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars apps. Jags Wired. Don't miss it.
With us on Jags Drive Time this morning, here with you with Ozone Snapshot, the first one, Rob from Orange Park, Florida. I think we went from a team and a defense that no one wanted to face in the playoffs to one that everyone wants to face. A disturbing turnaround, John.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I included this today because I've gotten this sentiment a lot, and it goes back to what we talked about at the top of the show. Don't overanalyze the last two games.
Right.
You were on the sideline, and I get that when you're watching it on TV and you're fired up for the game as a fan and you're wanting to see the team win, then a loss and things that happened during that feel like, well, what happened to the team we saw in the first 14 games? It's a different team. The playoffs, A, are a massive reset, no matter how you've done. B, momentum going into the playoffs is a myth. You were here in 96.
Yep.
I didn't think they had momentum going into the playoffs. They played terrible against Atlanta the week before.
You're right.
Managed to squeak out the game.
The way they won that game gave them a lift.
You didn't think going into Buffalo, I didn't think this was a team. All of a sudden, Clyde Simmons was momentum.
Well, and
that's
and
what momentum is.
That's
in the
a
playoffs.
Great point, because if you recall, Jim Kelly went right down the field with Thurman Thomas.
Rolled.
They're 7-0, and the Jaguars go 3-0 on their first three series, and you could just feel, uh-oh. One more touchdown and this thing will explode.
The mood in the press box was
they're about to get
a
killed.
Nice season. This is a nice little story.
And Clyde reached nice his big paw out and took that ball and went 20 yards.
Different.
And then all of a sudden you could feel on the Jaguars sideline that they believed.
All of a sudden Pete Mitchell looked like Gronkowski.
Yeah. But remember, the next drive, they went right back down the field.
Right.
And retook the lead. The Bills
right.
did. So then, not Thurman Thomas, Natron Means gave the Jaguars back the lead.
Same, I mean, right.
They went toe-to-toe, but Clyde Simmons, you're right, was the
momentum
guy that lit the fire.
Momentum is what happens early in the play. So this is still the same defense that caused you to think this was a team that could be dangerous. And it's still the sixth-ranked offense in the league.
Right.
Now, it has not been an offense that for 16 games has played at a high level where you said, boy, this is an all-time offense. But it's put it out there 9 or 10 times. It's scored enough to be the fifth rank. This team is perfectly capable of doing just what we said it was capable of 3 weeks ago, which is if it gets its formula, if it plays its game, it can go beat anybody, but it can also lose to anybody.
So,
it's the same team.
Christmas Eve, West Coast, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, found some holes. You know, made the Jaguars look human.
Mm-hmm.
And as the players explained, their game plan. Kyle Shanahan's game plan, and of course, he had Robert Saleh as his defensive coordinator, who knew the Jaguars' rules on defense, knew how to exploit it. They did a good job, right? So I can understand coming back going, all right, where is this defense?
Right.
But to me, the defense built momentum in Tennessee. What they did to Derrick Henry, how they chased Mariota around,
right.
Yes, he completed some passes, but him throwing the ball was not the reason the Jaguars lost. It was because the Jaguars couldn't move the ball on offense.
Right.
The Jaguars' defense built their own momentum with that performance on Sunday in Nashville. They overcame San Francisco, but because they didn't win, people have forgotten that.
Correct.
All right, Ashley, what else you got?
All right, this is a long one, and it's a bit negative as well. HDT from Jacksonville. If we lose to the Bills, this season is a failure. The homers will say we won the division, we won 10 games, we made the playoffs for the first time in 10 years, we were predicted to finish last in our division. To me, this is all the more reason that the season will be a failure if we lose Sunday. No guarantees exist in the NFL. I don't think we can count on Luck or Watson being hurt next season to ensure we are back, so we have to take advantage this year.
Wow.
Yes.
Real venom there.
Venting.
I agree to a point of you must take advantage of your situation when it's there.
Totally.
You can't count on the playoffs being there the next year. You can't count on, you know, you're not promised anything in the future in this league or in life. But, you know, but if they lose, I don't say this is house money at this point, but from the big picture, you're in the postseason. It is not a failure at this point, no matter what happens. I believe they will win on Sunday. I believe you will have the celebration. But you've got a home playoff game out there, Brian.
Yeah, see.
You won the AFC South. I just don't see it that way. This is my point.
So the expectation before the season was, and I remember saying this, just get me to 8-8.
Right.
Right? Let's get past the losing seasons. And there were, what, six consecutive double-digit losing seasons. So when they passed 8, I went, okay. Right. Now, the expectations rose from there because we saw the way the defense played. We saw Blake Bortles in the offense doing some things. But if I – what was this guy's name, Ashlyn?
HGT.
H what?
Something.
I know. Maybe initials. I
just want to give you his real name. If you had told him before the season, sign here on the dotted line. Will you take 10 wins? Mm-hmm. Will you take a division title?
Right.
Will you take a home playoff game?
Right.
Yes, yes, yes. Where do I sign?
I think it's big picture, small picture. Small picture, you're always going to feel like it's a failure if you don't win because it's there for you. You've got the opportunity. And you know if things go right, you're good enough. But in the big picture, the stride
right.
that was taken, there's no way it's a big picture failure.
They pulled their foot out of the muck. I thought that was and it's yours, so
the abyss. Bow. Right.
Well, the analogy of the foot stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
And it's tough to break the suction that losing creates,
yeah.
that sucking feeling, right? They don't have that anymore. That's a huge win on the season. I get it. The expectations are up.
And
I, as much as anyone, understand the concept of take advantage of the moment right now because a couple things. A, you might not be the same defense next year.
Right.
No matter how well he's played, you're not guaranteed that your 31, 32-year-old defensive end is going to play at an all-pro level next year.
Or is it
Aaron Colvin could
breaks,
be gone.
There's et cetera, et cetera.
You've been healthy all season.
It's a year-to-year league.
Take advantage of the moment. Now. Absolutely. Take advantage of the moment. Anything else, Ashlyn?
That is all. I think you guys covered it.
Ozone snapshot. There were no good ones this week?
Just a negative little, yeah.
By Friday, when we do the show again, that will have completely changed. Hey, folks, tonight, all access. Tuesday evening, you'll enjoy At Mellow Mushroom in Avondale, Calais Campbell, as always, and Marcel Darius. How about that? We didn't get to that obvious line. The Doug Marrone connection to Buffalo. I wonder whether we'll talk about that on Friday. We think. Probably not.
I know Marcel's ready for Sunday. I do know that.
They're all ready for Sunday.
I'll click on that tonight.
All right, folks. So don't forget, tonight, Mellow Mushroom and on CBS 47 at 7 o'clock, Jaguars All Access. Thanks for joining us here on Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio. Have a great Tuesday.